It's 12 December, it's Sunday. I'm Charlie Garrett, and this is the CG Report, entitled Liar in Chief. That and a lot of other things to go over on today's report. Okay, I've got some visitors here. We're going to start with Don and Andrea, and I hope I'm saying this right. Murray or Murray? Murray?
Murray.
Okay. You said that last night, and I thought Bill Murray. First thing that went in, but, you know, there's an A in there and I or something. I didn't want to do it wrong. So it's Don and Andrea Murray, and they are from Doylestown, Pennsylvania, which is outside of Philly a little bit, and they flew down here yesterday afternoon for a specific purpose. They said they want to be baptized. And so they flew down for that, and they were supposed to arrive yesterday, and it's getting towards the end of the day. They arrived in Tampa 2:44, and then, of course, it took them 45 minutes to get a rental car. And so time is waiting away. I've got Lee visiting from, he's from Maryland, but he's right on the border of Delaware. So we'll say he's just outside of Delaware, just like they're just outside of Philly. Okay, so we have Lee is talking to me, and he's saying, have you ever done a baptism at night? And I said, no, I haven't, because it's we're getting close. Yeah. And then I get a call, and they said, we're here. We're at the hotel. We can be there in just a minute. So we all ran out to the street, and we're waiting for them. They show up, and then we all got in the car and went down to Turtle Beach, and I took them through where we used to have church on the beach years ago. So they got to see that, and we got out there, and I have never had a more perfectly timed or lovely baptism in all my life. The sun was going down. It was, did you get the photos? Did you look at them? Lee, did you look at the photos?
I took it on their camera.
Oh, okay. Did you look at them? Are they okay?
Yes.
Okay, good, because I haven't seen them yet, but it was so marvelous out there. And yes, it's warm in Florida right now. I actually went out there, and I got a little bit of a chill afterward because, you know, the air's starting to get cooler in the evening. But it was the most perfectly timed and wonderful baptism to do, with the sun just going down and lots of people there for the sunset. So they got to see a baptism going on, and hopefully they'll consider their own walk with the Lord because of that. So thank you for making that effort. And then we are here watching a video this morning, which I'll tell you about a little bit later. And we had walk into the church, Victoria and Stephanie, who are just from outside of Pittsburgh. So we've got Philly, and we've got Pittsburgh, and then we've got Lee over on the border of Delaware and Maryland. Everybody's outside of something a little bit. But they showed up, and they're going to be here for a couple of days, and she said that she's been attending online for a long time. So it's wonderful to have you here. Thank you for making the effort. And then we have, as I said, Lee, who is one of the moderators for the Superior Word channel. And Lee decided to come down for his second visit to us. And so here he is, and he spent the night at our house last night. He's been here for a couple days, and he came for the Thursday Bible study, but something important happened, and so he could not stay for the Bible study. He had tickets to a bare-knuckled boxing up in Tampa, and the event got moved up. And so, you know, he's got to go to bare-knuckle boxing. That's important, and he can watch the study online. So he bailed out on us, but he also missed out on the pizza because we had pizza set aside for him, and so that happened. And then just 1 minute ago, showing up late like my mother or my wife, Rick shows up from outside of Orlando. What's the name? Yeah, just outside of Orlando, just like we got just outside of Philly. And So we got a lot of just outsiders today, but welcome. It's good to have you here. Okay, so that's the introductions. It's a wonderful morning to have people here, and we got some news from Israel. Breitbart, fact check. You know, this guy is just incredible. He's incredible. Biden falsely claims to have visited Israel during the Six-Day War as a liaison. Yeah, claim. Biden claimed he was invited to Israel as a liaison to Egypt during the Six-Day War. Verdict, false. Biden was a law student during the Six-Day War in 1967. He visited Israel 6 years later in 1973. Conclusion, Biden is once again a disgraceful liar. Yes, okay, from all Israel. Israeli man stabbed in Jerusalem terror attack. Assailant killed in controversial shooting captured on camera. Okay, I have no problem with this. These people had a problem with it, and there's all kinds of people upset about it. I don't know if you watched the video, but it's very clear what happened. This guy's walking along. All of a sudden, he turns around. There's a Hasidic Jew behind him, and he starts just brutally attacking him. So there's a couple of cops. They seem to like to do this right where there's armed cops. I don't know. Anyway, a couple of cops took him down. He started to get up again, and they put him down. So it says an ultra-Orthodox man in his 20s was stabbed in the third terror attack in or near Jerusalem's Old City in 2 weeks. The victim was taken to the hospital in moderate condition, and the assailant was killed by police responding to the situation. The entire episode took place in the span of 15 seconds in broad daylight with many witnesses and many cameras running. In a video released by the Israeli police, the assailant is seen stabbing an ultra-Orthodox Jew several times as he walked toward the Old City. Border police officers responded very quickly to the situation, and the suspect turns on them. Bad move. Shortly after the attack, a video recorded by a bystander, one of the border guards shooting the assailant, went viral. Palestinians then began on social media calling the shooting a public execution. In the video, the suspect is shot, falls to the ground, and a border policeman shoots him again. Like I said, he's coming up again while he appears to be subdued. Unless you are subdued, you are not subdued. If you've ever seen the videos of police that try to subdue these knife attackers, they come in with cuts all the way over their body. Some of them don't make it. You subdue the target. My thought, nice shooting, Tex. Okay, from all Israel. UN General Assembly votes 129. You've heard this every year since we've been doing these reports. It's not going to change, but I just thought I'd keep you abreast of what's going on. Every year they have these votes, and every year it's the same thing. UN General Assembly votes 129-11 on resolutions that leave out Jewish references to Jerusalem. The U.S. voted in opposition, along with Australia, Canada, Czech Republic, Guatemala, Hungary, Marshall Islands, Micronesia, Nauru, Palau, and, of course, Israel. So you got a couple nations in the whole world that will recognize that there's a Jewish presence in Jerusalem, and the rest of the world says, we don't know about that. Every year, year after year, from all Israel, as America considers arguments that could toughen abortion laws, Israel's health minister wants to loosen them in the Jewish state. They're already killing countless children in Israel every day. Let's just keep doing it. Health Minister Horowitz wants to remove as many obstacles as possible, including scrapping the need for a committee for any woman up to 12 weeks of pregnancy, and ending a policy that requires committee members to persuade the woman not to terminate. As it is, women can easily get abortions in Israel. There's a committee that must approve applications for pregnancy terminations, but 99% of the requests are approved. But Horowitz said the right to a woman's body belongs to the woman alone. Forget the rights of the child. All decisions and medical procedures, such as the choice of a mother to have an abortion, must be in the hands of the woman alone. Doesn't matter if there's a man involved in it, he has no choice. We do not have the moral right to decide for her how to proceed with an unwanted pregnancy. I'd say that's one of the primary moral rights of a nation, is to protect the most helpless. And I can't think of anyone more helpless than a child inside of a mother's womb. As things stand today, he continued, women are forced to go through a degrading process and provide, you know what? They got themselves into that degrading process to start with. Yeah. All right. And why they want to terminate their unwanted pregnancies. This is absolutely ridiculous. No, it's not. I would refer you to Ezekiel 36:22, which I cite every time that I mention these things. Yet not for your sake, O house of Israel, am I going to do these things, but for the sake of my holy name, who you have blasphemed among the nations and whom they continue to blaspheme all over the world with their horrid policies. From all Israel, will Israel make COVID vaccination mandatory? Two top officials float the idea this past week. I think we need to examine all options. In other words, you have no rights at all in the state of Israel if they pass this, including the option of mandating vaccination in the state of Israel. These are little Bidens running around over there doing the same thing that this guy in the White House wants to do to us. Just like in many other countries around the world, unvaccinated citizens are increasingly blamed for the spread of COVID-19. Watch Wednesday's upcoming report, and I think you'll disagree with that, in Israel. Despite the fact that both vaccinated and unvaccinated individuals continue contracting the virus, Just a few months ago, Israeli Prime Minister Naftali Bennett labeled the Delta wave the pandemic of the unvaccinated, then called the unvaccinated dangerous and ticking time bombs, among other things. I would argue right now, without getting into any details, it is exactly the opposite. Okay? And I believe that if you check this upcoming Wednesday's report, if I do it for whatever reason, it will probably be titled Pandemic of the Vaccinated. That's my guess. We have some news concerning Christianity for you. And before I read that, I'd like to read you something from my friend Isabella. She sent this. I would never ask for this, ever. But she sent it, and she asked me to publish it, and so I'm going to do it. Hi to everyone who attends the Superior Word Church online. If you watch the videos online or if you attend live streaming, some sermons have like 1,000 views but are only having 30 or so thumbs up. And in the internet world, that is how things get pushed up to the top. Please remember to give a thumbs up. This way, the teaching of the Word of God could reach more people. So I would never ask for that myself. She has asked for it. Do what you want with it. Okay, from the Christian Post. Most Catholics, mainline Protestants, say that faith in God is not required to enter heaven. Yeah. More than 3 years, this shows you the state of the world, if nothing else does. More than 3 years after Pope Francis sparked a firestorm of religious debate by telling a young boy that his deceased atheist father might still be up in heaven, a new study shows a majority of Catholic and mainline Christians also believe people who don't believe in God will go to heaven. Well, I'd like to qualify that because there are people all over this planet. There are, what, 7, almost 8 billion people, and there are almost that many religions out there. There are religions all over the place, and new ones are made up every single day. And all of them claim they believe in God. God. God is a very general term, okay? I will qualify this before I go on. You will not go to heaven if you believe in God, unless that God is the true God. And the true God has revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ. If you do not put your faith in Jesus Christ, you will not see heaven. I will never, ever cave on that. That is what the Bible teaches. That is what I am responsible to tell people. I will never tell somebody that if you believe in God, you will go to heaven. Because your idea of God may be completely wrong. Okay? You must believe in Jesus Christ, and there is no other way. No other way to go to heaven except faith in Christ. Okay? And even that, there are people that say they believe in Christ that believe a false gospel. We've got them all over the world. Okay? Mormons say, I believe in Christ, but it's a different gospel. It is a different Jesus. You must understand your proper theology. Jesus Christ is God. He didn't become God like the Mormons say. He's not a man that was created by God like the Jehovah's Witnesses say. He is God. He is the second member of the Godhead. And if you call on the wrong Jesus, you're going to find yourself in the same place as people that called on Allah and Buddha and all of these other gods that are out there. Please understand that. This is one of the most important things that you will ever do in your life, is make a right decision about who Jesus Christ is. Okay, I'll go on. And while 39% of all American adults in general believe people who don't believe in God can still go to heaven, 68% of Catholics and 56% of mainline Protestant Christians were found to hold this belief, compared to 21% of evangelicals and 13% of Christians from historically black churches. If the black churches have nothing else, I've never been in a black church to hear their theology, but if they get nothing else right, they got this right. Only 13% of them, I'm sorry, yes, 31% of them say that you can get to heaven some other way, and 21% of evangelicals. So those are the lower numbers, but you say you're an evangelical and you don't believe that, you're not an evangelical at all. You must believe in Jesus Christ, okay? I was talking to somebody last night. I don't want to give any names because I don't want to give anything away without permission, but I was talking to somebody last night who said that he used to watch the prophecy updates, okay? And that's all he did. And finally, he decided to want to watch the sermons, because I'm always telling people, please watch the sermons. Please stop watching 457 prophecy updates a week. This is an important thing for you to do. Okay, watch 2 or 3 prophecy updates at the most. Make sure one of them is the Superior Word, okay, which is now called the CG Report. Other than that, You should be in the Word of God in the morning and at night, and you should be watching sermons that are based on the Word of God. And this person did that, okay? And I'm very proud of people that are willing to make that stand and make that change in their lives where they start putting what is important first. So there you go with that. That's my plug for the sermons from Breitbart. Pope Francis urges Christians to never proselytize. Can you imagine this? Yes. Pope Francis urged the Christians of Cyprus to bear witness to Jesus Christ, but never to proselytize. Well, how do you bear witness to Jesus Christ? Go get nailed to a cross so that everybody sees that you're dying for Jesus? I mean, this guy is insane. He is insane. Proselytism, or the attempt to convert others to one's faith, is different from evangelization, he says. The Pope suggested, which is the joyful witness of one's experience of Christ. So I walk around and people say, why are you so happy? And I say, I'm a Christian. Oh, well, guess what? This guy over here is very happy as a Buddhist, or he's very happy as a Muslim, whatever. Okay? That doesn't do anything unless you are actively, if they see that, then you are supposed to tell them why you have this joy. It's not just I'm a Christian, but here's why. I'm released from my sin debt, and I want you to understand that so that you can too come and be a part of what we know. Because if you don't, you will never enter the gates of heaven. This is important. This is important stuff. And this man, I better keep my thoughts about him quiet. Speaking at a mass in Nicosia, the pontiff reflected on the day's gospel reading that recounts the healing of two blind men, who, despite being sternly warned by Jesus not to talk about this fact, talk about their cure. Okay, he's taking that completely out of context. Okay, folks, spread the news throughout the region. There's a bit of irony in this fact. Jesus had told them not to tell anyone, but they do exact opposite, the Pope noted. From the story, however, we understand that it is not their intention to disobey the Lord. They simply cannot contain the enthusiasm of having been healed, the joy of their encounter with him. And here there is another distinctive sign of the Christian, the joy of the gospel, which is irrepressible, Francis added, insisting that the joy of the gospel frees us from the risk of a privatized, serious, plaintive faith and introduces us to the dynamism of witness. First off, he doesn't even know what he's talking about. He has never, ever in his life given the gospel of Jesus Christ, ever. He talks about the gospel, he talks about it, and he has never, that I know of, ever been a person that has presented the proper gospel to anybody. In his homily, the Pope praised his hearers for joyfully living the liberating proclamation of the gospel. I thank you for that, he said. This is not about proselytizing. Please, never proselytize. But of testimony, not of moralism that judges, no, don't do it, but of mercy that embraces, not of external worship, but of lived love. This is maybe the most confused person on this planet because he is in charge. The whole world looks at Catholicism and they think that's Christianity. That's what they think. And it's not. It's not even close what he is proclaiming. Amen. It has nothing to do with the truth of Jesus Christ. From the AP. In democracy's birthplace, Pope warns of populist threats. So don't give the gospel and let me tell you about what's bad about America and the other countries that believe in supporting their country. Pope Francis warned that the easy answers of populism and authoritarianism are threatening democracy in Europe and called for fresh dedication to promoting the common good. Arriving in Greece, the birthplace of democracy, Francis used a speech in Greek to political and cultural leaders to warn Europe at large about the threats facing the continent. He said only robust multilateralism can address the pressing issues of the day, from protecting the environment to fighting the pandemic and poverty. Politics needs this in order to put common needs ahead of private interests. Yet we cannot avoid noting with concern how today, and not only in Europe, we are witnessing a retreat from democracy. Breitbart. Pope Francis pushes more immigration on overwhelmed Cyprus. Teeny little spot in the middle of nowhere that's getting billions of people, and he's saying, you need to do more. Francis urged, you know, the Vatican could do a lot more. I suppose you could get another 50,000 people in there. Francis urged leaders of the island nation of Cyprus to be more welcoming to migrants, even as the country flounders in trying to deal with the mass migration currently overwhelming it. Reuters. Orthodox priest shouts, I'm so happy to read this. Pope, You are a heretic at Francis in Athens. Now, as my friend noted, that's kind of one calling another, but we'll just go on with this. An elderly man who appeared to be a Greek Orthodox priest shouted, "Pope, you are a heretic," as Francis was entering the Orthodox Archbishopric in Athens and was taken away by police. Witnesses said he shouted loud enough for the Pope to hear the commotion. Francis arrived in Greece for a three-day visit that Greek Roman Catholics hope will bring the Eastern and Western churches closer together. Getting ecumenism, and yeah, pretty soon you're going to have the one world religion, but this guy is at least right about what he said. Pope, you are a heretic. Okay, some news from the Mideast and Africa today. Mail Online. Aeronautical science sophomore, 18, armed with a knife, assaults students at Florida Institute of Technology dorm. Did anybody read about this in any Florida paper? Okay. Florida Institute of Technology dorm building before being shot dead, good, by cops after lunging at them. Al-Haji So, 18, assaulted students at Florida Institute of Technology with an edged knife. The sophomore student who studied aeronautical science at the school was shot by police after reportedly lunging at officers when confronted. Nice shooting techs. The Melbourne Police Department and the Florida Tech security team responded to the incident. The motive for the attack is unknown at this moment. Right here in Florida. From all Israel, a top Senate Democrat just urged Biden to return to maximum pressure campaign against Iran. Will other Democrats follow? This is a Democrat that is worried about what's happening in the world right now. Fears are certainly growing rapidly in Washington that the Biden admin is not doing nearly enough to prevent Iran from building the bomb. A prominent and highly respected Democrat senator is signaling that he, too, is increasingly unhappy with the Biden policy. Senator Ben Cardin is the second highest ranking Democrat on Senate Foreign Relations Committee. This week, he began telling reporters that a maximum pressure. Where was maximum pressure being applied? At what point in our history? The last administration? That's what it was. Maximum pressure. Okay. Maximum pressure policy against Tehran is the only way to get a real, effective, and lasting nuclear deal. Well, he says this now that Biden has gone from allowing them to have $1 billion in surplus, which would have been gone in less than a month, to the last time we reported this just a couple weeks ago, over $31 billion in surplus cash. And it's going up every single day because they're selling oil to China. Okay? It's too late. Cardin thus effectively dismissed the Biden approach of offering Iran enormous economic sanctions relief and other sweeping concessions. What's more, Cardin just embraced the get tough on Tehran approach pursued by the Trump, Pence, Pompeo team over the last 4 years. Oh, I guess he was right. From Arat Shiva, U.S. official, we're preparing for a world with no nuclear deal. A senior official in the State Department told reporters that if Iran continues on its current path, we will need to increase pressure on it. Oh, no kidding. We're preparing for a world that won't work. Obviously, the last guy did it for 4 years and he almost had him broken, but that won't work. We're preparing for a world in which there is no return to the nuclear agreement. According to the official, the U.S. cannot accept a situation in which Iran is advancing its nuclear program while dragging its feet in negotiations on the resumption of the deal. The official also said that in the current talks, Iran backtracked on the compromises it made during the 2015 talks. Well, yeah, shocking. While at the same time setting new demands. At the same time, Iran is pushing forward its nuclear program in a way that is seen as provocative. He had, well, let's see, they're allowed, I think it was 2.67% enriched uranium, and they're up to almost 60% now. Okay, they are up to 60%. They just don't have a lot of it yet. So I would call that provocative. He added that the European partners, as well as China and Russia, were quite taken aback at the fact that Iran backtracked on what it proposed in 2015 during the nuclear talks last week. NBC News quoted the official as saying that Iran came to the talks with proposals that walked back anything, any of the compromises Iran had flouted here in the six rounds of talks. Pocket all of the compromises that others instilled in them and the U.S. in particular had made and then asked for more. Well, what do you expect? They've got the initiative. They got a guy in the White House that is completely, he's got applesauce in his head. Okay. I shouldn't say that because I bet you like applesauce, don't you? He's got lard in his head, okay? There's nothing going on up there, and they know that they can get away with this. From the National Pulse, professors face prosecution for study finding migrants commit more rapes. These professors did a study, just a general study, and they came to a conclusion, oh, out of the blue, and now they are facing prosecution. Professors from Sweden's Lund University are facing prosecution from the country's Ministry of Education for their ethics behind a paper demonstrating how most rapes are committed by migrants. The data in question relates to the identities of rapists in Sweden, which culminated in the paper Swedish Rape Offenders, a latent class analysis. The published results reveal that immigrants are disproportionately overrepresented in rape cases and commit the vast majority of sexual violence. Though the authors did not originally set out to find a link between the variable and rape, immigrants were just a variable, and it turned out to be quite a remarkable discovery, as there were many immigrants and foreign-born people in this group. I don't know how they could not have known this, because we're here in Sarasota, Florida, and I've reported on that, what, 10 billion times? I mean, all you have to do is just open the newspaper, go to their newspaper, and every single week it's, you know, Ali this and Muhammad that. Go down the line, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then we report on it, and they are just figuring this out. In light of these findings, the Swedish Ministry of Education's body launched an investigation into whether or not the professor had ethical permission to test the hypotheses if immigrants are overrepresented in statistics on convicted rapists. The scientists were also criticized for insufficient evaluation, as they failed to indicate how their research should reduce exclusion and improve integration. So it's their responsibility, who are just doing a simple survey, it's their responsibility to find a solution to this problem that they've identified. Not the government, not the police, not the immigration people. It's these two professors. It's their responsibility to reduce exclusion and improve integration.
Build a wall.
I mean, can you imagine what's going on? It's insane. Okay. As we span the globe, we try to never miss something interesting from Mongolia. From Steel Orbis, India holds talks with Mongolia on sourcing high-grade cooking coal. Well, that's bad for the environment. Why would they do that? Both sides expressed their keenness to develop Mongolia as a reliable source of quality coking coal. This could be an important step for the Indian steel sector towards possibilities of raw material securitization and price stability. India, which imports around 85% of coking coal for domestic steelmaking, had earlier this year signed a pact with Russia to source the critical steelmaking raw material and reduce dependency on traditional sourcing countries like Australia, Indonesia, and South Africa. So they're down there burning coal. I thought we're not supposed to do that anymore. The Book of Daniel prophesied that technology would increase in the end times. What's up in that regard? From Defense One, quantum sensor breakthrough paves way for GPS-free navigation. This is really an important article, even if you don't get it, okay? We have GPS. All it takes is the Chinese blowing up one of our satellites, and the GPS system goes down. And what did they just do in Russia a week and a half ago? Blew up a satellite. The Chinese did it, 3 years ago? And the stuff is still filling space around the Earth. So we need to find something to replace that. Quantum science, one of the Pentagon's top research priorities, may be about to deliver on its longtime promise of an alternative to GPS. A team of scientists, last night I was out to dinner with some friends, and we were right down there at the Thai restaurant, right? And some of you have been there, nom, nom, nom. Okay, so we're at the Thai restaurant, and I said, here's how you get to church in the morning. You go right over there, and you see that light, and they didn't turn around. And I'm like, just that light, and then just down a little bit, and on this side of the road. And he says, well, that's why we have this. And they showed me a phone that tells them where to go. I said, well, that's not part of what I own, so I wouldn't know. I've got to be told, and then I write down the directions, and I get lost anyway. So that will all go away, and guess what? I have in my car maps. I've got paper maps. So if the ball ever drops, I can drive anywhere with no problem. You guys are going to be going, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do?
Call Charlie.
Call Charlie. You can borrow my maps. And they go to every state in the nation, because in 2010, they're a little outdated, but I don't care. In 2010, I drove to every one of the lower 48 states, and I needed maps. Okay, a team of scientists from Sandia National Laboratory has developed a quantum sensor that doesn't need the power or massive support machinery of previous prototypes, and which has overcome the durability concerns by running for a year and a half in the lab. That could enable a wide range of civil and military applications, including drones that don't need weak and spoofable satellite signals to navigate in the air, underwater, and even underground. Quantum navigation operates via a process called atom interferometry. If you cool atoms to just millionths of a degree above absolute zero, then hit them with beams of light, you can trick them into quantum superposition. Each atom takes on two states simultaneously, moving and still. Each state reacts differently to forces, including gravity and acceleration. That allows you to measure things like distance more accurately than GPS, and without the need for a hackable signal from space. But to measure quantum superpositions, you need an environment where no other particles can interfere. Most of today's atomic gyroscopes and accelerometers require big vacuum contraptions to suck molecules out of the magneto-optical trap. The Sandia team figured out how to use aluminum silicate and other chemicals to passively absorb and clear out rogue molecules. That brings down the size and power needs of the device considerably. We present a vacuum chamber that uses passive pumping to maintain pressures sufficient for a MOT in excess of 200 days. These inertial sensors can be used wherever there is a need for position or navigational information, and where a GPS outage is unacceptable or GPS is unavailable. Civilian applications such as aviation and autonomous vehicles are areas where momentary outages of the GPS signal are not acceptable. GPS is decidedly not available underground or underwater, so inertial navigation is very important for these operational environments. The accelerometer can also work as a gravimeter. Measurements of gravity and gravity gradients is important for oil, gas, and mineral exploration. So that's kind of cool if you understand the technology. I don't, but I like the article, so I read it to you. Yes, tricky, that's true. It's a dangerous world, including the inevitable plagues the book of Revelation prophesies of. Let's see how that's developing. From Zero Hedge, Spanish investigation finds vaccine passports have no impact on infection rates. All these things that they're, yeah, shocking. An investigation by experts in Spain has concluded that vaccine passports have no significant impact on reducing COVID-19 infection rates. That means that there must be another reason why they continue to push this. Looking at how the scheme has been implemented in other European countries, the experts found that mandating people show proof of vaccination to enter venues like bars, restaurants, and cinemas is not reducing levels of transmission. In European countries where the system is being used, cases are rising significantly, although it is true that their level of vaccination is much lower than in Spain. The researchers also concluded that vaccine passport schemes contribute to a false impression that vaccinated people do not get infected, when in fact around 40% of those vaccinated are susceptible to infection and transmitting the infection. From Fox, Oregon Health Authority moves to implement permanent indoor mask mandate. Permanent. The Oregon Health Authority, you know what, if you're in Oregon and you just can't stand it and you're a conservative, move to Florida, okay? Yeah, I've got a guy that moved from Oregon right to here because of Florida's policies and the wonderful governor that we have. Okay, the Oregon Health Authority assembled a rules advisory committee to address a permanent indoor mask mandate in the state. Oregon is one of a few states that still retain one nearly 2 years into the pandemic. The committee included several community stakeholders, including representatives from the hospitality industry, the business sector, and faith communities. Dr. Paul Sislak, the medical director for communicable diseases and immunizations with OHA, explained that OHA's potential permanent indoor mask mandate is not necessarily permanent because it can be repealed. Nothing is ever repealed once it's put into law by these people, ever. Permanent means indefinite. Well, then why don't they say indefinite? But they don't. It doesn't necessarily mean permanent. We can repeal it as well. But we are only allowed to have a temporary rule for 180 days, and anything that goes beyond 180 days, we cannot extend it. So now it is permanent. The state of morality is declining. Here's some news on that. From the Business Insider, 3D printed suicide pods. I was sent this about 8,000 times, so you've probably heard this, but if you haven't, it's something I talked about 2 years ago when they were approved as for the purpose. Now they are approved for use. So here we go. 3D printed suicide pods are now legal in Switzerland. Sarko Machines, 3D printed capsules designed for use in assisted suicide, have passed a legal review and can now operate in Switzerland. They flood their interior with nitrogen and reduce oxygen to help people die. While the Swiss assisted dying sector's approach requires the ingestion of liquid sodium pentobarbital, Sarko can provide a peaceful death without using controlled substances, which is exactly what came from the movie, anybody? Soylent Green. Remember they went into a place and they laid down and they took away their oxygen and they died quietly and then they turned them into food. Remember the very end? We've got to tell them Soylent Green is people. And then the movie ended. Mail Online. Fury as transgender UPenn swimmer who used to compete as a man smashes two U.S. women's records and finishes one race 38 seconds ahead of her nearest rival. His. From Cision, Kraft Peanut Butter releases limited edition children's book on pronouns for Transgender Awareness Week. From Breitbart, Kraft Peanut Butter. From Breitbart, Ellie Mistal. Now, I don't know who this person is, but it's a person that goes on to MSNBC. Okay? Ellie Mistal. E-L-I-E. It's a guy, but it's pronounced, I guess, Ellie or Eli or something. Anyway, this guy, Mistal. Conservatives think that a fetus should have the same legal rights as full-grown black people.
What?
From Fox. Sotomayor compares fetus to brain dead person. Says fetal movement doesn't prove consciousness. Yeah, she's the brain dead one.
Yeah, right.
From MSN Travel. Woman allegedly, I don't want to read this word. She feeds. I'm just going to say she feeds her cat on a Delta flight as horrified passengers look on. Okay? It's a woman. That's all I'll say. She fed her cat and everybody was, what are you doing? Yes. This is what's going on in the world that we're living in right now.
That's awful.
That is horrifying.
Yes.
Some other news from around the world. And as I said earlier, I implore you once again, please watch the Superior Word sermons. If you don't want to watch mine because of my face, that's fine. Find a church that preaches from the Bible and watch those sermons. And it has to be somebody that has proper doctrine. And you're not going to know proper doctrine unless you read your Bible. Thank you. From Newsweek. Putin and Xi, I guess it's she, Putin and Xi working together to force Biden into a two-front crisis he can't win. Now, everybody's talking about the Ukraine right now, and some people are mentioning Taiwan. China and Russia in the past couple months have met quite a few times. This analysis, I'm certain, is correct. We'll see if it actually happens, but this is correct in its analysis, okay? As crisis mount over Ukraine and Taiwan, an unprecedented bond between Putin and Xi Jinping has allowed the U.S.'s two top rivals to force Biden into a two-front crisis that could spread his admin too thin to respond adequately to either. Now, they're assuming that Biden has the right intentions here. Biden is sold out to the Chinese. He's also sold out to the Russians. That is as clear as it can be. He doesn't care. He does not care. But they have the right analysis. They just have the wrong thought about the person they're analyzing. Okay? And should a shooting war erupt, there's little guarantee the U.S. would come out on top. I don't think the U.S. is prepared to go to war in Ukraine. I don't think the U.S. is prepared to go to war over Taiwan. Lyle Goldstein, an expert on China and Russia who served for 20 years as a research professor at the Naval War College up until October, and now holds the position of Director of Asia Engagement at the Defense Priorities Think Tank. I stand by both those points, he added. So to do both, no, absolutely not. Goldstein said, it's rare to ever be completely prepared for a war, but the Ukraine and Taiwan scenarios in particular are maximally stressing as they involve high-intensity warfare in theaters that are extremely difficult against opponents that have the single measure of focus. Either one of them on their own would be highly stressing, and I would argue if we were to get involved, there's a good possibility that we might lose. Certainly the initial engagements, but maybe even beyond that. The Pentagon has so far avoided weighing in directly on its ability to take on two major theaters at once. And we have completely eviscerated our military. Okay? We've got how many people that were not vaccinated that are going to start being sent out of the military? And we have nobody in there that is promoting the goals of the United States of America. I'm talking about in the leadership. It's not going to happen. This is a bad scenario. From Reuters. Chinese military flights near Taiwan look like rehearsals, Pentagon chief says. U.S. Defense Secretary Austin said Chinese military flights near Taiwan look like rehearsals, though he did not indicate that he expected Beijing to actually carry out such operations. Cross-strait tensions have been rising in recent months, with Taiwan complaining for a year or more of repeated missions by China's Air Force near the self-ruled island that Beijing claims as its own. Military training flights, by definition, are rehearsals for potential operations. China has not ruled out using force to bring Taiwan under its control. I would say not only have they not ruled it out, they promote it more every day. Despite the island's claim that it is an independent country that will defend its freedom and democracy. Zero hedge. Joe Biden's war against Alaska benefits Russia. Biden's war on fossil fuels has taken perhaps its heaviest toll on the 49th state. Oil and gas account for roughly half of Alaska's economy and a quarter of its jobs. There would be lots more oil and gas jobs in Alaska, but for Biden, who unilaterally suspended all oil and gas leases in the Anwar that President Trump had earlier approved. Now that action is being challenged in court. The Anwar suspensions came on the heels of the weak defense of ConocoPhillips' Willow Master Development Plan. In October, the Biden Justice Department opted not to continue its defense of the project after the Alaska Federal District Court ruled against what would have been the largest oil and gas drilling project in the Alaskan Arctic. Adding insult to injury, just as he did by vacating sanctions that had blocked construction by Russia of the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, which we talked about 3 months ago, Biden opted to abandon the Arctic and the people of Alaska. In turn, he opened an even wider door for Russia to overtake the United States as an oil and gas producer. Lest anyone forget, the Nord Stream deal was announced weeks after Biden killed the Keystone pipeline, also by executive order. Thanks to Biden policies, Russia has become America's number two foreign oil supplier. Russia has more than doubled its oil sales to the United States since Biden took office. Russian oil now doubles Alaskan oil's contribution to U.S. consumption. Remember that in the year before he was put into office, Trump had us exporting oil and all of our energy needs were met. For the United States of America. We were completely energy independent. And now we are buying Russian oil. We're still buying oil. What's the problem with us making it ourselves? But that doesn't seem to be in the equation because the guy in the office of the president right now is sold out both to China and to Russia. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt. Okay? Russian oil now doubles Alaska's oil contribution to U.S. consumption. While Alaska's oil and gas production has fallen by 75% since 1988, seriously impacting state revenues. Biden has enabled Putin's Russia to gain U.S. market share equal to Alaska's entire current output. The Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority has sued Biden. Interior Secretary Haaland and others in the Biden administration stating that their actions to obstruct and delay the development of valid oil and gas leases in the non-wilderness coastal plain of the Anwar are unlawful. Ma'am, would you please come forward? In the 32-page filing before the U.S. District Court for Alaska, the plaintiff explained that AIDEA had won the right to bid on leases to pursue drilling in Anwar when a federal judge denied any injunctive efforts to stop the oil and gas sale. My daughter just walked in from New York once again, surprising the family as she likes to do. And there's my, did you know she was here? Did you, my wife had no idea that she was here. So there you go. Now you get to go sit with your mother and console her. All right. Biden disregarded this order on his first day of office by placing a temporary moratorium on Anwar development. He followed up in June by halting exploration and development on those leases, claiming that legal deficiencies in the oil and gas leasing program necessitated a new environmental review. In August, Haaland announced that Interior would still need more than a year to complete its review. Any bets on the outcome of that? These are traitors. They are traitors to the United States of America. Every one of them should be tried. They should be convicted because they are guilty. There's no doubt about it. And then whatever you do with traitors, that should happen to them. Yes, selling off our natural reserves while shutting us out of them from weasel zippers. Biden repeats debunked Amtrak claim for the sixth time this week. Our liar in chief. Sixth time. It was debunked the first time, and he still repeats it. And the press says nothing. They say nothing about this. Zero Hedge, 88% of black Marylanders support governor's plan to refund the police. The other 12 are the only true blacks, and these people must be racists or something. Can you imagine that 88% of the people want this, and they don't want to do it? From Zero Hedge, Cook County blows past 1,000 homicides this year and first since 1994. And I guarantee you that 92.78% of them are black.
Yes.
And nobody cares.
But Black Lives Matter.
Yes. On paper. From the New York Post, Bank of America execs warn junior staffers to dress down as New York City crime surges. Yeah, they don't want them being assaulted in the street, so just dress down. Come in your bad clothes. Weasel zippers. Rich imbeciles who voted for Biden in L.A. are being violently murdered across the city.
Ironic.
Ironic. Okay, who said it? Somebody will get this, maybe. Don't think money does everything, or you are going to end up doing everything for money. Anybody? Voltaire. Okay. Got a Lesserick here for you. Pope Francis has sparked mass confusion, says proselytizing's illusion. Pontiff says, do not judge. It's okay if you fudge, for the world needs to suffer delusion. Well done. Okay, before we go to our final irony of the week, I would like to tell you that we watched today, if you were here early enough, if you weren't, then you missed out on it, and you'll have to go watch it at home. Sergio and Rhoda have a new video app. It's about 29 minutes long. It is my second favorite. Rhoda did one, they both did one, but Rhoda read a poem at the end of one a couple years ago about the Jordan River, and that is my by far favorite of their series. But this is my second favorite. It is marvelously done. It is well put together. And I will tell you this so that you know, please don't say it out loud. If you watch that, you will never read certain passages of the Bible the same again. There is a pun in there that is so unbelievable that when you read it, you're just not going to be able to read the Bible the same again. I know I never will. It is a marvelous video, but it has a very, very funny pun in it. Okay, watch it. And when you read the Bible, which you should be doing every single day, when you get to the book of like 2 Kings, you're going to be like, or even it's first introduced in the book of Leviticus, Leviticus 26, where the Lord says he's going to punish the people, but there's a pun that's in that video. And when you read it, you're going to be like, you'll never get it out of your mind. Am I wrong, anybody? No, they all that saw it agree. Okay. Here's our irony from News Wars. This is from my friend Steve in Missouri. Police carjacked while investigating carjacking at a gas station. Yes. Such is the world in which we live. So from Sarasota, Florida to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, I'm Charlie Garrett, and that is your CG report for the week.